We have the opportunity now to visit a few minutes with Elizabeth Tegmeyer. She represents the area on the State Board of Education, something which I've always wondered what you deal with, Elizabeth, and welcome into the show again today, second time we've had you on. But I was always curious before, but never had a chance to talk with anyone on the State Board of Education. You illuminated me a little bit the last time we had you on, and I'm sure I'll learn some more, and hopefully our listeners learn a little bit more about what you deal with today. But I noticed looking on the website that had your agenda from October when you met there in early October that you deal with a lot of different things, and probably a lot of it is just stuff that's kind of boring to the average person, but it's necessary. But one thing that did stand out when I looked at that agenda is where you're putting together a draft right now, which I'm guessing eventually is going to be codified or were approved by the board, on your strategic plan for the Department of Education for the next 5 years, 2026 through 30. So I just wanted you to talk about that a little bit and what all goes into drafting a plan. And I'm sure you have to cover a lot of different things in that and touch on a lot of different areas, right?
Sure. So our current strategic plan does sunset at the end of this year. So we have been in the works all year, planning and getting ready and gathering information. We started out with a survey that was on our website, which really helped narrow down the focus. I believe we had about 2,000 people. Some of them were members of the education community, as well as our staff, and then just mm-hmm. citizens throughout Nebraska completed that, and that helped us narrow it down. Then we did 13 listening sessions across the state, and three of them were actually out here in District 7. We had one in Valentine, one in Scottsbluff, and then down in McCook. And so we took the ideas from the initial online survey and use those to narrow it down and come up with and discuss with these in these listening sessions mm-hmm. Kind of to get a better feel for what Nebraskans are looking for. And we've narrowed that down to three overarching areas that we're going to focus on for the next 5 years.
Okay. And what are those three areas?
So we're looking at accelerating student achievement, growing our educator pipeline, and equipping learners for the workforce.
Okay. So elaborate on each one of those things and what the thrust is going to be as you head into the next 5 years.
Sure. So as we look at accelerating student achievement, we know that the essential skills of English, reading, and math are so crucial to all other areas of study. And so we have set a goal of 75% of our third graders reading at the proficient or above level by 2030, 80% of our eighth graders achieving proficiency by 2030. And then we have some goals as far as the ACT. The numbers are based on current where we are and where we'd like to see, but we'd like to see some mm-hmm. improvement in the ACT scores. And we also want to reduce chronic absenteeism. One of the downfalls to the COVID shutdown yeah. is that kids and parents were sometimes given the message that school attendance isn't that important or right. it's optional. And we saw a huge spike in chronic absenteeism. So we're trying to address that because you can't learn if you're not in school.
That's true. And we had a lot of people hooking up and doing it by computer and all that. And we know studies have shown that those that maintain that classroom mm-hmm. consistency going and attending fare much better than those that try to do it in other ways,
yes.
right?
Yeah, teachers are essential to learning. So you know, what we have to do at the State Board then is look at what are the levers that we can pull, because we're really a policy setting board. We're not down in the schools every day like our teachers and principals and superintendents. Mm-hmm. So some of our strategies for improving student achievement will be the use of our discretionary funds. How do we use our resources to help our schools and and bring those down to the district level. Mm-hmm. We also have statewide resources that we want to make more readily available in English and math. And then we have targeted school improvement plans, and we actually have an entire department that works with schools to develop and then follow through with their school improvement plans.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a focus here in the next 5 years, and then on to priority two, which is grow the educator pipeline.
Yes. So we do know that teachers are essential, and if we don't have a teacher in a classroom, or we have a teacher who's teaching out of their endorsement area, it does have the potential to reduce student proficiency. So we want to decrease the number of vacant positions. That means they're completely unfilled. And in 2023-2024, these are the most recent numbers we have, mm-hmm. we had 200 completely vacant positions throughout the state. Mm. We also want to decrease what we call unfilled. And these are the second category, where there are teachers who are teaching out of their endorsement area. And in that same year, 2023 to 2024, we had 669 of those positions. So we want to decrease the number of those. And so we have some strategies that we've actually been employing right now. And we continue to plan to direct our resources to incentivize teachings. The legislature has allocated grant monies for different programs for people entering teaching and staying in the teaching field, so we can continue to direct those resources. But then we're also looking at our regulation revisions and how we can help that. One thing that was a little bit out of the box, because in Nebraska, we've always required people to come into our state and get a Nebraska teaching license, and that often has meant additional coursework. And one thing that we did in the last year was we offered reciprocal teaching certificates to anyone with an out-of-state teaching certificate, as long as there weren't any black marks or issues with it. So they could come right into our state and get to work. And while that seems like maybe we think there aren't a lot, we've had over 350 applicants since January 1st be able to receive a Nebraska teaching certificate. So that's a huge amount of people who were ready to work in our schools, and now they can do that.
That'll make a dent in the unfilled positions. Certainly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So that's another priority for you. And then on to priority three, equip the workforce.
Sure. So this actually covers multiple areas of our department. Most people think, when they think the Department of Education, they only think schools, but we also regulate vocational rehab. And so what we're looking at is we're looking at improving the skill attainment for those clients, so that they can receive credentials of value, they can be employed after exiting the services. We also look at how are our students able to access post-secondary opportunities. And so our goal is to have 94% of our students graduate by 2030. And we'd like to start seeing 50% of those students being able to take dual enrollment classes, getting some college credit while they're in high school. Mm-hmm. And we've been blessed. Our community colleges are offering many of these courses at no charge to the high school students. And then we want to see 50% of our students also enrolled in CTE concentrator classes, so that we can really address the workforce needs in the business community.
So there is that. And then improve skill attainment for clients and learners as well.
That's right. And so that's another way that we can help our vocational rehab clients to get into the workforce and make sure that they have some independence and ability to provide for themselves.
I think, you know, the workforce is changing, and we're all wondering how much AI is going to take jobs, but it's changing things already. We're seeing that in certain areas too. So that is something you have to look towards the future and know that that's just going to be a continual adjusting factor too. What's going to open up because of that? We don't know the full effects of AI and how deep that's going to get. We always worry about eliminating jobs, but it's going to also provide jobs too,
It certainly will. And then there are some fields that we know we're just going to need a person in, and that's why we're focusing on some of those skilled trades for our students, because those are good jobs. We need them in Western Nebraska. We need them returning back to our communities. So hoping to continue to use some of our resources to coordinate and direct them to our districts so that they can expand and continue their career and technical education programs.
Mm-hmm. You have action teams to help implement the first three strategic priorities, as you call them. And then it says the fourth strategic priority will be implemented through operational plans. It sounds like the board has thought this out good and how you're going to implement and make these goals happen.
Correct. So we have a commissioner and assistant commissioner who have been very pivotal in thinking through and creating a strategic plan, helping the board. They bring this to the board, but they really bring the ideas, and then we work through them. And I think the idea is that the last one seemed to be a lot of concepts that weren't employed into how we run our department. And this is, we're looking at how can we actually use these concepts to direct the work of the department so that we can better life for Nebraskans.
That's what it's all about. Noticed also you dealt with authorizing the commissioner to appoint individuals to fill vacancies. And then one thing that caught my attention, you reappointed Dale Fornander of Chapel on the State Committee for the Reorganization of School Districts. I wasn't aware that there was even a committee for this, but he and also got Shad Stamp-Benkelman are two of the five people on that. You try to have that committee filled with lay people as well as educators to form that.
Yes. So, and one thing that I think has been important is that we're seeing increased rural representation. The challenges that we face out here in Western Nebraska are very distinct and different from Lincoln and Omaha schools. And so it's nice to have the rural voices on these committees.
I like that. For sure. And then some other things here. I think we don't have time to mention a lot of these things. I was just printing out stuff that I thought caught my attention. But you go through a lot of different things. Approve school district's request for exclusions to the budget limitation in accordance with the provisions of the Tax Equity and Educational Opportunity Support Act.
Sure. So that one is an interesting one, and I will tell you what I know is that school districts have a budget that's combined with their tax levy and then their state aid. And so when they want to exceed this, let's say they get a community grant. A lot of schools districts here get help from Nebraska Land Bank. They want to accept that, they actually have to request that, because that does then bring their budget above and beyond what they have through the TEOSA plan.
Right.
And so when we approve that, then that allows them to offer extra programs and enhance and enrich learning with that those donations.
Are those generally rubber stamped by the board? You don't scrutinize those too much? Or?
So the board does not. Our staff, we have a whole financial department, and they do go through those.
Okay. But they're usually approved, right?
Grants, we do not line item, so we usually bulk approve them.
Okay, gotcha. And then the other thing I noticed, request relative to the budgeting provisions of the Tax Equity and Educational Opportunity Support Act for this school year, and it lists retirement contribution increase. I noticed Maywood, North Platte Public Schools, Maxwell Public Schools are on that list, but these are things that happen probably fairly regularly.
Yes, and they're just pretty standard. You are correct.
Contribution. Mm-hmm. And is that just for the employees of those schools? They want to raise the limit on what they can contribute to it, or have it matched by the school district?
It's matched, yes. And the longer that an employee is there, you know, they'll be contributing of great their percentage, then that dollar amount is a little bit higher. So
okay. When's your next meeting coming up?
So our next meeting is the first Friday in December. I believe that's December 5th, and that'll be down at Lincoln. And one thing that we're looking, I don't know, are we out of time?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. One thing that we are looking at is We are looking at bringing forward that strategic plan that we discussed. That will be brought forward for a request of approval by the full board.
So you expect a vote on that?
Yes, okay. That will be an action item.
Okay.
And then one thing that's not an action item, but we're working on, is looking at the revision of our social studies standards. By state statute, all of our standards have to be revised every 7 years. So these are in the works right now, and we actually have a committee that oversees that. That's our planning and evaluation committee. And we've received some feedback from three outside organizations, the Fordham Institute, Civics Alliance, and the National Association of Scholars. And they've all had some concerns about our social studies standards that we currently have in place. And the Fordham Institute actually rated them pretty low. Our civics, they gave us a D, and our history, they gave us a D minus. And so just they felt like they lacked clarity and organization, as well as they gave us low marks for our content and our rigor. Just one example that is a little vague. We got feedback from one social studies teacher. He said, "These are so broad you could drive a truck through them. Analyze past and current events and challenges from the pre-Columbian era through the Constitution." That's a fifth grade standard. So broad. Analyze everything from before Columbus to the Constitution. So we have a first year teacher coming in, and she's looking at our standards for direction. And
need to kind of narrow that down a little, right?
Yes, I think we need to narrow it down and give our teachers more support. We need to craft these standards so that they inform classroom instruction throughout the state. That doesn't mean we're all reading the same page on the same day, but it means that the same concepts will be taught in all Nebraska schools so that all of our kids have a good, solid grasp of American civics and the history of this nation.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to make a broad statement about what we should be teaching in each category, but it's harder to narrow that down. It takes more brain power to kind of say, okay, what exactly, you know, we have the overarching theme that we want to make sure we get taught, but within that, what should we be really spending the bulk of our time emphasizing, right? And what do we want to transmit? What do we want to, the impression we want to leave in the students' brains, right?
That's right.
They have with them.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I don't remember much from social studies. I wasn't captivated by social studies. So.
Right. So, and not everybody loves history, but you know, we know that history is so crucial to know that as we move forward.
It is.
Yeah,
it is, and I become more interested in my adult life going back and really trying to understand these major events in our history and what you know, why we are the way we are today, what led to that. You know?
Right, and I think presenting facts with that information rather than just having students memorize dates is very valuable. What was triggering the catalyst for these events, and then how do we feel their effects still today?
Yeah. More what led to wars, and you know, the participants are important and all that. I just remember being so stressed out about remembering exact dates and stuff like that, and I'm like, you know, this is not my something I want to, you know, be stressed out about, really.
Right.
So I'm sure that's always a struggle, yes, to decide what exactly. But you want your teachers to have some latitude within each section, but you have to, like you just pointed out, need to narrow the focus. You kind of been shown that by these outside groups, right?
Sure.
Kind of
yes.
Review that too. Mm-hmm. Anything else from that October meeting, or what you're going to deal with here in the December meeting that you want to point out?
The October meeting was actually a pretty brief one, as you said. I mean, most of it was just perfunctory voting that we do. Things moving forward into December, we don't have our agenda published, but I will tell you that they come out on our website 1 week before the meeting, and so the public can review that. We do have allotted in every agenda up to an hour and a half of public comment. I know that it's a drive from North Platte to Lincoln. Make it pretty frequently myself. So if you don't want to drive, you can submit written public comment.
I saw that.
That does have to go in 24 hours before. So it needs to be in by Friday. Our meeting is on Friday, so it needs to be in by Thursday at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So, but you can submit public comment. We do read those after the meeting.
What are the most the concerns expressed to you most often? What are you hearing from the people that you have contact with?
Sure. So one of the things that people most contact me about are when they're having difficulties navigating through an issue in their local school district. Because
a disciplinary issue or just the way they teach or what?
There's a variety. I would say the biggest thing that I get contacted about is people not happy about the curriculum choices.
Okay, curriculum.
But that is a local district decision. We have what we are a local control state. So each district selects that.
So they need to express that to their local school
to their local school boards. Yep. Yeah. I get some questions about special ed, navigating through the IEP process and making sure that students are getting the help that they need. So those are kind of the two big ones that, that I get contacted about.
You know, I think everybody wants their kids to get a terrific education, and I think the school districts, I mean, I think they have their priorities straight on that. There's a lot of administrative stuff that they have to deal with. I know that too. But as far as the teachers in the classroom, I think they really wholeheartedly they have their students on the top of the list and teaching them what they need to know. But it's always, you know, how you do that, you know, different thoughts about how you best prepare them to launch them into the real world type thing. And I'm sure there's always some discussions going on and different views on that from each school board on how best to do that too, right?
Sure. Sure, yes. I think that anyone who is investing their time and their energies into education really does care about students. And we have wonderful classroom teachers, our administrators, and our school board. I mean, I don't know every community's school board across the state, but I have met many school board members as I've traveled and talked to them. And they're very invested, and they do care about the students and about the future of our state, wanting to make sure that every kid has the best start.
I have no doubt on that. And again, December 5th, your next meeting down there in Lincoln. Where do you meet at?
So we meet at the NDE building, which is out on 84th and O, the very eastern edge of
town. Okay, I know where that's
at.
Yeah, I grew up in Lincoln, so I know that, especially that side of town, pretty well.
So, yeah. And we didn't meet in November. We do have a few months where we don't meet throughout the year.
Yeah, it's not exactly every month there, too. That's good, and they can offer their comments online. Do you know the website off the top of your head? Or
I don't know it off. I would just Google
Nebraska Board of Education.
And you can do that. You can Google Nebraska State Board of Education, and that will take you to some links. Yeah.
And that's what I did to find the agenda and found it pretty easy to navigate to the agenda and a whole list. You can access them. I think they got everyone on that every meeting and recaps from this year too. So
that is correct. Yes, and the documents that the board sees are also available to the public once that agenda is published.
And yes, I like that. It's just like a local school board. That's what I do when I have the North Platte public schools in too. I just go back, I go to that agenda, and I click on a few things to get the details that I want to ask them about and get them to comment on, and that seems to work out really good. It's really good to be accountable. Have to be accountable to have these settings, you know, where you conduct the meeting. Usually, there's not many people there. It's just, you know, the people that are on the board themselves making important decisions, and then usually get the backlash. I'm sure the feedback comes after you make decisions a lot of times, but you'd rather have it beforehand to go in the input and right. when you're making the decisions, right?
Absolutely. We yeah. appreciate hearing from the public. And I always keep in mind, what do the people living in my district want? And sometimes it's a little bit different than what maybe I would personally want. And so, so I always vote with that in mind. I know that early childhood preschool options are very important to the people in yes. this district. And so making yeah. sure that we have those, we voted on some grant funding that came down from the state to open up new ones. Mullen, Nebraska was one of those recipients. I personally do not send my children to preschool, which is a choice that our family has made, but I understand that many families do. And so I did choose to vote in favor of that. It ended mm-hmm. up being a 6-2 vote, so not all of our board members voted in favor of funding mm-hmm. those. But I know that that's very important to the parents of our communities. And so I mm-hmm. want to make sure that I'm not just representing what I believe, but also what the people of this district need and mm-hmm. want and have expressed to me that they want.
Mm-hmm. If someone listening to us today would like to contact you, do you want to throw out either a phone number or email address I can sure. express some concerns to?
Sure. Yeah. The best way is through my email. And it's Elizabeth, ELIZABETH dot Tegmeyer, and I'll spell that too, okay. TEGTMEIER at nebraska.gov. And okay. what that does is if they can shoot me an email, it gives me time to read it, and then we can either, I can call them right back, send them an email, or we can set up a time that a phone call works for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
My home phone number is on the State Board of Education's website. They can call that. I'm probably less responsive because I don't always check the answering machine.
Okay.
But we do have one. And so if you didn't get the email written down, you can go to the State Board of Education's website. My email and phone number are on there as well.
Okay. That's probably the best way and gets the quickest response.
It does. Yes.
Elizabeth Tegmeyer has been our guest with the State Board of Education here in North Platte. You grew up in North Platte, didn't you?
I did. Yes. Yeah, so. Graduated from North Platte High School
a
few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
A few years,
you know. As we age, we're like thinking of the good old days, and we don't like to date ourselves as my, you know. I used to be proud. I was a 1982 graduate of Lincoln East High School, and now it says so much. Well, it was back in the dark ages. It's just kind of like you can try to figure it out.
It seems that it doesn't seem so long ago until you realize you start doing the math, right? But yes, and then we've raised all of five of our kids yeah. here in the community.
Did you get the little cards from reunion committees, you know, reminding you.
That's right. So, yeah. yes. But North Platte is an yeah. excellent community. We've loved yep. raising our kids here.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll probably schedule you back in January sometime to get the folks caught up on what happens in that December meeting.
Absolutely. Yes, we'll have December and January, and in January we'll have a vote for a new board president.
Oh, you got another one in January. Okay.
Yes, so that'll be yeah. good. You'll get 2 months next
time. You always do them in the first Friday of the month then when you have them?
We do. Well, the first Friday, this is tricky, the first Friday that follows the first Monday.
Okay.
So I believe January 2nd is the first Friday, but we won't meet that day.
It'll be the 9th mm-hmm. instead. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just follow that progress and get you on for updates probably every other month or so. And we appreciate you coming in here and spending part of your morning with us, Elizabeth.
All right. Thank you.